This time, dear friends, I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, I'll be reading verses 8 to 14. However, verses 11 to 14 will constitute our text for this evening. Well, let us now turn to the reading of God's holy word, found at Romans 13, beginning at verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a few hours, 2014 will pass, and another year will be ushered in, 2015 A.D. A.D., Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. For some, it will be their final year on earth. For others, it will be a road marked with suffering and all kinds of challenges. But for all of us, it will be another year of struggle against the sinful nature. It's another year of waiting patiently for the redemption or salvation of the sons and daughters of God as we wrestle with sin in this world, especially in 2015. According to Holy Scripture, this present time, this present age will pass, and the day of salvation will be ushered in, for the day is near. Meanwhile, 2015 is another year of urgency. 2015 is another year of warfare. 2015 is another year of living out our Christian faith. I want us to look at these three points: the year of urgency, the year of warfare, and the year of living out our Christian faith. So let's look first at 2015 being another year of urgency. Look with me in your Bible again at verse 11 and 12. Paul writes, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here." Boys and girls, urgency means to take swift action. Swift action. And we see this urgency in Paul here in this letter, in this chapter. And do this. That is, love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is giving sacrificially and selflessly of yourself to someone else's needs, both the unbeliever and the believer. Now, the Apostle Paul says, understanding the present time. And do this, love, understanding the present time. Time here, the word that Paul uses, refers to a seasonable time, not a permanent or fixed time, but a seasonable time, a limited period of time. So then this present time is also known as the present evil age, the day in which we live, a day of darkness. But this present time is for a season only. It's limited, the apostle says. In the beginning of our service, we received God's salutation, God's greeting. And that salutation came from Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Spiritually speaking, we've been transferred or relocated from the present age, the age of sin, death, and darkness, to the age to come, the kingdom of his beloved Son. Therefore, it is important, Paul says, that we understand the present time in which we live, that we do not belong to it as Christians. We belong to another age where Christ reigns and rules, and his Holy Spirit dwells within our hearts. Christians live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're of Christ. The apostle continues. He says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It is time for us to wake up from our spiritual sleep and slumber and apathy. And what Paul's saying here is that we need to wake up from our forgetfulness of God's law, of God's command to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Because we can indeed be a forgetful people of what God has done for us and what God will do for his people. And so wake up. The time has come for us to live lives of faith expressed through love. As Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, for salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The Apostle Paul doesn't know the day or hour of the Lord's coming. He's not privy to it. Our Father in heaven alone knows the day and hour. Paul's point is not when the Lord returns, but rather how Christians are to live in light of the Lord's coming, in light of the nearness of that great day. As one commentator notes, listen carefully, faith is indeed nothing but living in the light of what is to come. Faith is indeed nothing but living in the light of what is to come. We look forward to that day, and that day indeed is near. Every year that the Lord gives us is another year closer to that day. Every year the Lord gives us, we are closer to the redemption, the salvation that we will know fully and completely and exhaustively in him. Our bodies will be made like Jesus' glorified body, and we will wrestle with sin no more. What a glorious thought. I dare to say many of us, most of us, if not all, well, I should say all of us wrestle with a particular sin, whatever it may be, and imagine not wrestling with it at all. That's what we have to look forward to as God's people in that day. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says that Christ was sacrificed once to take away sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Are you waiting for him? Do you long for him? Do you say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Maranatha? Longing for that day. Paul goes on to say, the night is nearly over. Verse 12, the day is almost here. The night refers to that present time that he spoke of in verse 11, or the present day of darkness. The night will come to an end very soon, and the day is close at hand. The day refers to the Lord's coming, as most commentators believe. I happen to agree with them there. Or it could also refer to the death of a saint. As they go on from this life to the next, they enter his glorious presence, and they enter the day of the Lord when they enter the light of Christ into that heavenly Jerusalem. Both are true. The nearness of the day is very common in the New Testament, and it always is followed by an imperative or a command. For example, James 5 verse 8 says that the Lord's coming is near. Therefore, we must be patient and stand firm in the faith. Commands. 1 Peter 4 verse 7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Sin hinders the prayer life, doesn't it? Now please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 4. First Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 4. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like those who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith, and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. There's an urgency here by the apostle. The day of the Lord is near. Be self-controlled. Live according to the light, according to the day. And so, dear friends, 2015 is another year of urgency to live out our faith in love because the day is near. But it is difficult to do so because of the battle we face daily. And so 2015 is another year of warfare. It is another year of warfare. Look with me in your Bible again. Romans 13, verse 12 and 13. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. The apostle says, let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Notice how he includes himself because he knows the internal spiritual battle. And we read that in Romans chapter 7 quite clearly. But this list that he gives us of these deeds of darkness are not exhaustive because in other letters he gives other lists, other idolatries, other sins. For example, Galatians 5, Ephesians 4 and 5, and Colossians chapter 3. These lists of sins come from the devil, from Satan. They come from the darkness. They are sin. And these sins arise in our sinful nature. And so what is our counterattack? Interestingly, Paul does not say, put on the deeds of light. Put off the deeds of darkness and now put on the deeds of light. No, he says, put on the armor of lights. Paul loves military language. He loves warfare language because he knows the battle is a war. It's a war zone and it's going on right in your own soul. This language is not uncommon with Paul. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about the armor of God. The armor of God. To ward off the evil one and the sins that so easily entangle us. In this passage, this armor of light, this light refers to the truth and character of Christ. God's word and spirit protect us from the deeds of darkness. And this distinguishes between the children of darkness, the children of night, from the children of the day. At Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and following, Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." 1 Corinthians 3, the apostle writes, "What will be for us is that there will be a day that will bring all of our works to light. The works that we do will be shown in that last day. Will they reflect the light, or will they reflect the darkness?" The apostle John, 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7, the apostle writes, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all our sin." When we walk according to the word of God, we are walking according to truth, according to the light that is found in Christ, and we do so by faith alone. And so, this indeed will be a year of warfare. But 2015 will be another year of living out the Christian faith. Look with me at verse 14. Romans 13, beginning at verse 14. "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Living out the Christian faith means putting into practice the truths of God's word. For example, faith, hope, and love are virtues that we receive through faith in him. They are gifts given to us by God, and we must put them into practice. In the context of Romans 13, love is the fulfillment of the law, as we read. It is the supreme virtue. Paul says, instead of living by the sinful nature, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. At Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says something similarly. "Be very careful then how you live or how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Using the remaining time that we have, and for some it may be just 2015, using it to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that is in Christ Jesus. Walking in the light of Christ. How do we do this? What does it look like to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, through faith in him, his word already abides in our hearts. Faith is the instrument by which we take hold of Christ and his promises. It is the instrument by which we take hold of his love and mercy for us. And because of his great mercy, we do not sit idly by. We do not allow the deeds of darkness to have its rule in our lives. And you know what? It takes holy sweat. It takes holy discipline. This is the sanctification process. It's a hard workout. Now, I like to work out, but then I don't like to work out. I like to work out because I like to be fit. But I do not like to work out because the pain it gives me. But I know that the pain is worth it. You've heard the saying before, no pain, no gain. And this is true. Wrestling with the sinful nature and the desires of the flesh are extremely painful. Tell it to the person who's sitting in front of a computer screen looking at pornography. Tell him to just walk away and never look at it again. The internal pain and turmoil that he will experience. Or tell it to the alcoholic, just don't drink anymore. How about the drug addict, the heroin addict? the most addictive drug on planet Earth. Just don't eject it anymore. How about pride? Envy? Just don't be arrogant and prideful anymore. Just stop it. Easier said than done, isn't it? It's hard. And it takes holy sweat and discipline. It takes trusting in the Lord for His strength and His mercy and His grace and His Spirit and His Word to work in and through us to defeat these sins that so easily entangle us. And so 2015 is another year to living out the Christian faith, looking to Him and Him alone to bring healing, to bring forgiveness, to bring wholeness, to bring sanctification into our lives. And our God sanctifies us through fiery trials and tribulations. He sanctifies us as we wrestle with our own sins, which drives us ultimately to look to Him and His Spirit for the victory. I like what one commentator says, and I quote, "Do not plan for sin. Give it no welcome. Offer it no opportunity. Kick the sin off your doorstep, and you won't have it in your house." The more we entertain it, the more we tamper with it, mess with it, the more it consumes us and gets the best of us. And Paul says, leave no opportunity for your sinful nature. In 2015, there are addictions, there are sins that you and I need to put to death in our lives. If you don't, it may cost you. It may result in the loss of something. It may be your family. It may be your job. It may be your life. It may be your Lord. I'm so grateful to God for the ministry of Men in Training. I think as I reflected back on the past year of ministry here and what the Lord has been doing, I've been so thankful to God for MIT because God is doing a great work. He's helping these men, including myself, to understand the relationship between idolatry and addiction, idolatry and sin, and how to put these addictions to death through a living and active faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put, we're learning how to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? In the 4th century AD, a man by the name of Aurelius Augustinus, also known as St. Augustine, lived a very promiscuous lifestyle, and he greatly struggled with sin and wondered how he could ever be rescued from his addictions, his sin, his temptations. And he writes in his book, Confessions, St. Augustine, The Confessions. If you ever have an opportunity to read this book, it is very profound, very worthwhile, and you find yourself saying amen quite often because it's almost your confession too. But he wrestled with these sins, and he writes, how long will these sins entangle me? How long will this be? Tomorrow continue? Why not now? Why do I not put an end to my shameful conduct from this hour forward? So saying, I wept, my heart crushed with very bitterness, and behold, suddenly I heard a voice from the house next door, the sound, as it might be, of a boy or a girl, repeating in a sing-song voice a refrain unknown to me, pick it up and read it, pick it up and read it. Immediately my countenance was changed, and I began to ponder most intensely whether children were in the habit of singing a chant of this sort as a part of a game of some kind. But I had no recollection at all of having heard it anywhere. I checked my outburst of tears and arose, taking this to be nothing other than a God-sent command that I should open the Bible and read the first chapter I found, whatever it might be. For I had heard that Antony, on chancing to enter church in the middle of the gospel reading, had taken heed of what was being read as if it were addressed to himself. Go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So what he's saying is that his friend Antony did the same thing. He just went to church and he heard this gospel read and God saved him. And so he thought he'd give it a try. He opened up his Bible and see what he would land on. By this divine utterance I had heard, he was immediately converted to you. In high excitement, therefore, I returned to the place where Alypius was sitting. For I had left my copy of the Apostle Paul there when I had risen to go aside. I seized it, opened it, and read in silence the first heading I cast my eyes upon. Not in riotousness and drunkenness, not in lewdness and wantonness, not in strife and rivalry, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh and its lusts. I neither wished nor needed to read more. No sooner had I finished the sentence than it was as if the light of steadfast trust poured into my heart, and all the shadows of hesitation fled away. And so St. Augustine was saved by these verses. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Do not provide opportunities for your sinful nature to take action. And so in 2015, dear friends, do not procrastinate in your Christian walk, in your faith. Wake up and stand firm in the faith. And I would like to leave with just a few suggestions here. First, live by faith. Clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ Jesus our Lord. By faith alone, take hold of his promises. Take hold of them, the forgiveness of sins, union with Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Peter says he himself bore our sins in his body so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. One Bible commentator says, having laid aside the garment of sin, now deck yourselves more and more with the robe of Christ's righteousness, so that whenever Satan reminds you of your sinfulness, you immediately remind him and yourselves of your new standing with God. I know I deserve death and hell, but what of it? What of it, Satan? I have one who made satisfaction for my sins, and his name is Jesus. Secondly, exercise your faith by appropriating this gospel truth in your life. It means saying no, men. It means saying no, women, to sin and evil, and praying for God's help and strength. Faith is also exercised in community. It is exercised with the people of God. We clearly see this in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. Also, exercise your faith by memorizing this word. What soldier goes into warfare without a weapon? Sorry, that's stupid. This is our weapon, right? And we go to war with this weapon. You're never too young, you're never too old to memorize the word of the living God. May it be implanted in our hearts so that we may never depart from it. You're never too old. You're never too young. And so what sacrifices do we need to make in order to exercise our faith in 2015? Ask yourself that question. What do you need to do less of in order to gain more of Christ Dear friends, the day is near, and it's another year to give ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ. And when we are consumed by His love through faith in Him, we are ruled by Him and walk in His ways. But when we choose to follow our sinful nature, we are consumed by it, and it has its way with us. Which will you choose? Which will I choose in 2015? For this year will be another year of urgency. It will be another year of warfare, and it will be another year of living out the Christian faith to the glory of our God. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, O Lord, that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we pray, O Lord, our God, we pray that you would open our eyes and ears to hear what the Spirit is teaching us from your word. Help us, O Lord, to walk anew, afresh in this new year, that you would strengthen our faith in you, that we would walk in love, that we would walk in faith, that we would walk in hope. Father, help us not to rely on our own works or righteousness, for we have none to offer. May we walk in the righteousness of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that this can only be done by grace alone, through faith alone, in Him alone. And so, Lord God, we pray that as we begin this new year, that we would be a people of God, zealous for Jesus, zealous to do your work, your mission, your cause in this dark world. For the night is indeed passing away, and the day is drawing near. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.